The scripture for this evening will be Ephesians 6, 10 through 18. And I'll be reading out of the New King James Version. Ephesians 6, 10 through 18. Finally, my brother, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against power, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and have done all to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is in the Word of God. Pray always with all power and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints.
Well, good evening, everyone. Always thankful for the opportunities that I have. If you're visiting with us, we're very glad that you've come our way. We're always thankful for that, that you've had safe travels and that you're here with us. I went to a WU basketball game when I was younger, and I went with my younger brother. And it was in the middle of the winter, and my younger brother, 6'6", basketball fan, he just didn't like to wear jeans or sweatpants at the time. And as I looked around, we realized as we walked into the Coliseum, my younger brother was the only person in shorts. It was cold outside, it was winter. And we got a lot of looks as we were walking into the Coliseum, as we were walking out of the Coliseum, everyone looking at my brother, and I think I know what they were thinking. What are you wearing? Why are you wearing shorts in the dead of winter? You know, I think about that sometimes. I think we look out in the world sometimes. We think, what are you wearing? You know, sometimes we might even look at ourselves sometimes. I went to teach one day, and I got off teaching. I went to my house that I'm trying to build as best I can, and I realized that I had forgot work shoes. So I was wearing my dress shoes working on my house. What am I wearing? You know? I think we have to ask ourselves that question seriously, though. What are we wearing seriously? Particularly as we enter this new year, 2019, what are you wearing going into this new year? Are you wearing the armor of God? Because certainly that's what the Bible tells us we should be wearing. He lays out here in Ephesians chapter 6, the armor of God. He even takes it a piece at a time. He says this piece, the helmet, the breastplate. He goes through all these different pieces. What are you wearing going into 2019? You know, the Christian soldier is popular in our younger classes sometimes. I wonder if it loses its effect on us, what God is really trying, the picture he's trying to paint for us here in Ephesians chapter 6. You know, sometimes it's cute, you know, the kids make their cardboard, you know, you're a Christian soldier, you know, here's your helmet. But do we really think of what we're getting at the church of Ephesus, this letter to the church of Ephesus in Ephesians chapter 6? We have all kinds of songs based off this passage. Soldiers of Christ, arise and put your armor on. We're marching on to Zion. Beautiful, beautiful Zion. We're all familiar with these songs. We're familiar with this passage. But have we really thought of the implications? The implications of the passage and what it's trying to get across to us as Christians. See, the Bible compares the Christian life to war. And the question is, what are you wearing? Are you equipped for battle? It says our torso is girded or protected and strengthened with truth. It says we have a breastplate of righteousness. And what would that be for? To protect our vital organs. It says our feet are sod with the preparation of truth. And New Testament times, their shoes a lot of times would extend higher than our shoes would, closer to the knee. We have the shield of faith, blocking bullets, arrows, darts. We have a sword. What are you wearing? We have the helmet of salvation. What are you wearing? The application of this passage. I want to make three quick observations of just the writing of this passage. Just the writing of this passage tells me three very important things. Implication number one is that you need to put your armor on. I think that's the first implication. And when we read down through, it even says in verse 11, put on the whole armor of God. It is emphasized that you are going to need every bit of protection as you go out and face the world. Are you putting on the whole armor of God? Are you putting on the complete armor of God? Are you taking all of the things in this passage and applying them to yourself so that you can be better prepared? I think the scriptures teach us how to put on the armor of God. Because I don't think this is a ceremonial armor that we hang up in our house and we look at it and say, oh, that's beautiful, of days of old when I was fighting and battling. No, it's an armor to be worn as we go out and face the world. It's an armor given us to give us strength and protection. Do you know that all of these aspects that we see in Ephesians chapter 6 can be found all throughout the Bible? You know, when you really boil it down, I mean, each of these different characteristics is assigned a part of armor. But you know, you can read about salvation in the Bible. You can read about righteousness in the Bible. You can read about all these things, all these attributes, all these characteristics that are applied to the armor we can read about in the words of God. Each piece can be found in the Bible. The question is, do we know where those pieces can be found? Because if we can't find them in the Bible, then can we really say that we are wearing the pieces that we find in the passage? In John chapter 8, verses 31 and 32, it says, then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Are we abiding in the words of God? If we're not abiding in the words of God, how can we be in the armor of God? If you don't know the words of God, if you don't know how to apply the words of God, I think the first implication of this passage about the armor of God is that we need to, in fact, put on the armor of God. Implication number two that's really quick, and I think obvious, is that we're in a war. Is why in the world would they be writing about all this armor, all of this, all these things that we need, if we're not, in fact, in a war? In fact, it's mentioned in the passage, but it's emphasized all throughout the Bible that the Christian life, as we go through this life upon this earth, is compared to war. And war is nasty, war is difficult, war is hard, and people lose their lives in war. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 through 6, the Bible says this, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your disobedience is fulfilled. See, this war that we're in, the war that's being wrote about in Ephesians chapter 6 is spiritual. It's spiritual. It's not a war of the flesh. But you have to understand the cost of this war. The cost of this war and the casualties of this war are really, in many cases, higher than a physical war. Because we're talking about people's souls for eternity. But we see this war that we're engaged in. What are we really going to be battling? What are we going to be fighting against? It says, casting down arguments. It talks about our minds. Are you prepared to go into war against the arguments of the world? Are you ready to go against the philosophies of the world? Are you ready to go against the mindset of the world? That is the lifestyle that God is portraying here. A war against arguments, mindsets, philosophies. Implication number one, put your armor on. Implication number two, you're in a war. Open your eyes. You're in a spiritual war. You need to be ready. Implication number three, I think, is I don't think that the writer Paul write that? When we look at this, why would he write these things about, make this illustration? When we look at these things, when we look at armor, when we look at a sword, what's the implication that we all understand about those things? It's those things you need to train with. You need to train with these things. You know, there's one commonality between all the branches of our military, all the elite force. What do? They train. They're training all the time. That's the commonality. The intensity of their daily training, particularly when they're not in combat, is unmatched. You know, sometimes I watch documentaries and stuff, and I watched a documentary on the assassination of Osama bin Laden. And what was interesting about the troops that they sent over there, they actually made an exact replica of the compound where they thought he was at. And you know what they did once they had that exact replica of the compound? They trained, they drilled. Why? That they would be prepared for any situation. The question for us as a Christian, are we training? Are you missing the training session? How many of our brothers and sisters in Christ are missing this training session? This training session that could be very valuable, very important to strengthening their armor, to increase their training and use of the armor and the sword which God has told us to use. How many training sessions are you missing? How many training sessions would you have to miss to get taken off the task force to go on that mission to go get a Osama bin Laden? How many would you have to miss? How many days could you take off and still be part of that team? I don't know. How many would you give someone that was going on a mission of such importance? Are you missing the training session? Are you training the way that you should? We have to drill and train. And Christians, we understand that every day we should be training in our Bible. Why? Because we need to be prepared for the day when we come in contact with the enemy. Well, what's the enemy? Well, he tells us the spiritual warring, arguments, philosophies, false religions, lies. Are you prepared for those situations? You know, a lot of times people look at the church and they say, oh, the numbers are dropping in the United States, so on and so forth. I mean, we've got to ask ourselves the question why. People have laid their armor down. Our armor is not as strong as it once was, perhaps. Perhaps we're not training the way we should. Perhaps we're not acknowledging the war that we're in. Perhaps we're not putting our armor on and making sure that there are no weak spots. Are you ready to engage in the spiritual war that's painted in the Bible? Are you praying for the spiritual war that's painted in the Bible? You know, when you see someone in their warrior attire, there is no mistaking it. From a police officer to someone in the armed services, when someone's in their uniform, you know what's going on. You know what's happening. They're ready for the task. It's unmistakable. When people look at you and your life, can they see the armor of God? Can they see the spiritual sword? Can they see the breastplate of righteousness? Can they see all of these aspects painted in Ephesians chapter 6? Are you really equipped for the battle? Are you really equipped for the struggle? Are you really ready for the engagement? There's no mistaking that these three things, I think, are painted in this passage. And they're so strong, and I think people try to overlook them. We try to make it a cute little story, but it's really not a cute story when we're thinking about the implications. Implications, get your armor on. Well, why would we need our armor on? Because you're in a war. And if you're in a war, certainly you should train for that war. The scripture is emphasized over and over again in the Bible. In fact, in 2 Timothy 2:3, it says, you therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Christ. When Paul is writing to Timothy, he says, you therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Christ. This allusion, this illustration, is used over and over again that we have to be prepared for the battle. Put our armor on. You are going into the fight. And training is needed. I think those implications are very strong. I don't know how we can read through this passage, verses 10 through 18, and come away with any other idea than you need to put your armor on. I don't know how you can come away with the idea after reading that passage that we're not in a war. I don't know how you can read that passage and come away with the idea that you don't need to train. And when we start to look at that picture, I think God is really telling us that there are some things that are really important. Some things that are needed. And I think those things boil down to two major categories, offense and defense. offense and defense. You know, a good soldier has some offense and has some defense. The question is as you go out in your spiritual life, as you're waging this spiritual war, do you have a good defense? Do you have a good offense? Let's look at the defense that's portrayed in Ephesians chapter 6. We understand that armor is for protection. And God has assigned you some armor. Are you wearing it? Are you utilizing it? In verse 11, it says, "Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." See, God has given us safety in the fight that we are engaged in. He has given us safety against the arguments. He's given us safety against the philosophies. He's given us safety against the doctrines of men. He's given us safety from all of these things. But if we don't take up the armor of God and apply it to ourselves, we are in danger. You know, there's story after story that could be told about someone that didn't properly equip themselves to battle. They didn't put on their bulletproof vest that day for whatever reason. They had something that wasn't maintained correctly. We could go after story where people were not prepared, people were not ready, and because of that, it cost lives because people weren't ready. Don't go into battle without the equipment assigned to you. And it's amazing how our world is pushing this idea that we don't need protection. You don't need protection. You know why? Because we see doctrines develop such as once saved, always saved. Why would I ever need protection if I'm once saved, always saved? I don't need any protection. I'm safe already. I'll be safe forever. No worries. But we need to put on the armor of God. What's the implication? You're in danger. You need to be protected. Armor is designed to protect warriors in battle, whether it's from ambush or an engagement that they plan on being. And you think throughout the Bible, do you think any soldier in Joshua's army didn't have their armor on? Any modern soldier or even police officer that would go into a situation unprepared without the equipment needed? See, God tells us the enemy that we are defending against. And our enemy is very good at what he does. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, it says, "Be sober, be diligent, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour." Are you ready for the lion to attack you? Do you have your armor on? In Luke chapter 8, verse 12, it says, "Those by the wayside are the ones who hear, then the devil comes and takes away the word out of their heart, lest they should believe and be saved." See, all of these pieces of armor, where can they be found? Where can we train with them? Where can we strengthen them? Where can we make sure they don't have any cracks or crevices or any weak points? The Bible. Are you strengthening your armor each and every day? Are you maintaining your armor each and every day? Are you making sure that your armor fits and ready to defend against the devil? Well, what's the devil going to bring at you? Well, he's going to bring the lust of the flesh, lust of the eye, pride of life. He's going to bring all of that at you. But not only that, he's going to bring arguments, philosophies, doctrines of men, all kinds of things are going to come your way. And are you ready to defend? See, Satan, in reality, he's after your mind. All those arguments, all those philosophies, he wants to get into your mind. God wants us to protect our mind. We have to be careful what we put into our minds. We've got to protect our hearts. Because that's what Satan's certainly after. How is your defense? How strong is your defense, really? If someone started questioning you today about this argument, how would you do? If someone started questioning you about this particular philosophy, how would you do? In 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15, it says, "But sanctify the Lord God in your heart, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." Are you ready to give a defense? Or has your armor been weakened? Have you let other people defend you for so long that you don't have armor at all? What if someone questioned you about instrumental music? If you were an individual, would you be able to answer those questions? What if someone was asking you about the gospel plan of salvation? How would you answer that? How would you talk about that? Could you defend? Or would you rely on someone else? Would you get out your phone and make a call? I'm not saying it's not necessarily wrong to call people and ask for help and assistance. But I think there's an individual responsibility for a Christian to put on the armor of God and defend. Can you defend as an individual? 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15. But sanctify the Lord God in your heart and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you. Who asks Jeff? Who has John? Who has Dan? Who has you? That's what the Bible says. Who has you? How's your defense? Well, certainly we're not going to have perfect defense. We all have our flaws. We all have our weaknesses. But we need to make sure that our armor is ready, that our armor is strong, that we're working on all aspects of our life, that we're working on the way that we conduct ourselves, that we work on our way we communicate with others, that we work on the way that we handle temptation. Our armor is in constant maintenance, just like the armor of any other individual. They're always maintaining, they're always checking, they're always cleaning, they're always making sure everything's in check. A lot of times they have a checklist. We got to do this, 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 and this every time we come in. And we got to do this, this, and this every time we go out. Have we lost the checklist for our armor? Are we not maintaining our armor? Are we not looking at the weak places in our armor? See, God says we can have success in this fight. But there is no way that we're going to have success in this spiritual war if we don't have a good defense. If we don't have the armor of God. In verse 13 it says, therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. See, God says you can have success in this war. You can defend. You can be saved. But once again, it's emphasized, therefore, take up the whole armor of God, in verse 13, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. God says we can have success in this fight. But where are you not going to have success? When your armor has weaknesses. That's going to be your downfall. When Satan finds your weaknesses, that'll be our downfall. So we need to be ever watchful every day that we're watching the fiery darts of Satan and making sure that we can defend them. But it seems like sometimes the fiery darts go over our heads, past our heads. No defense. Now we're slow learners sometimes. How many times are we going to let the fiery darts of Satan hit our family? How many times are we going to let the fiery darts of Satan hit our schools? How many times are we going to let the fiery darts of Satan hit our communities and say, no, no need to defend. No need to stand up. It's okay, don't worry about it. We're slow learners. How many times are we going to let Satan shoot barrage after barrage after barrage and say no defense is needed? We're the soldiers of Christ. We need to answer the call and say we will defend. But have we laid our shield down? Have we laid our armor down? Have we let the weaknesses grow so big that we feel like the gas cannot be held any longer? We have to be ready to answer the call. Satan's all around in all areas, attacking in all manner of different ways. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 13 through 15, it says, for such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also transform themselves into ministers of righteousness, whose end will be according to their work. Satan's everywhere in all places, trying to influence, impact people. He's trying to convince people to not defend. He's trying to convince people to lay down the shield of faith. He's trying to convince you to take off the breastplate of righteousness. The question is how is your defense? How important is your defense? Is it worth maintaining? Is it worth doing maintenance to make sure that it's all checked, all primed, all ready to go for those situations when we go out to the world? You know, believe it or not, I think the Lord's church, you know, doesn't all ride at defense. But I fear that many times, when I look at this other category, I think if you ask yourself, is the church better at defense or offense, which one would you say the church is better at? Does the church have any offense anymore? You know, I played a lot of basketball. My dad was a basketball coach. I was probably the worst in my family. I won't tell my brothers that. But I was probably the worst basketball player in the family. But I played a lot of basketball. And my dad was always big on defense, but he always understood you had to have a little offense, you know. You don't score a bucket, you know. It doesn't do any good. You know, I wonder if sometimes we become so complacent in the United States, the Church of Christ as a whole, the Lord's Church, have we become complacent? Do we have this attitude that we don't have to have offense, you know? We're fine with the defensive rebound. We'll get every defensive rebound, you know. There's people that are Christian and need to be restored. We'll run after them and say, oh, let's get them. Let's get a defensive rebound. But the problem is we never try to get an offensive rebound. We never try to go into enemy territory, Satan's territory, and say, let's try to win some people for Christ. Are we content with our defensive game, but not our offensive game. See, God did us an offensive game. He says, you got a little offense. What is the offense? Well, the offense is the sword. Verse 17 says, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. The sword of the Spirit. What a powerful thing that perhaps we underutilize. Something that we don't necessarily think about. Are we taking the sword to the world? You know, sometimes people don't like this idea. They don't like the idea of offense. They don't like the idea of aggressive. They don't like the idea of being the attacker. You know, people don't want to be considered a warrior. But being a warrior doesn't mean that you can't love peace. In fact, what I found out is some of the people that I've talked to that have fought and defended this country, they love peace sometimes more than any other individual. They love peace. But you have to understand, when you're at war, yielding and surrendering to Satan is not the answer. Satan is not going to give up. You know, it's like us going overseas and we're fighting an individual or a group, and we say, well, we're not going to fight you. Well, they're going to keep shooting. That doesn't make any sense. We're in a war where Satan's always going to keep shooting. He's always going to keep attacking. And we think that we can just wave the white flag and say, we give up. No, he can't. He's going to keep coming and keep pushing into our lives, into our families' lives, into our communities. If we don't push back and we decide to press the issues a little bit and say, I will take up the sword and take it to the world. The words of God. In Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20, it says, go and teach all nations. It doesn't say stay and teach all nations. It says go out where you're at in a nice little, you know, comfy area in your comfort zone. It says go. You gotta go. We have to have a little bit of offense. We have to have a little offense. We have to have a little attack. We have to go out. But this idea that Christians, it's almost like this idea is caught on that Christians can't be offensive. You know, we can't attack, we can't engage. It's like this idea that Christians have to be walked over, that we can't stand up for what we believe in. It's like we've forgotten what's at stake. When we win battles, souls are saved. When we lose battles, souls are lost. When we defend, souls are maintained. When we don't defend, souls are lost. Do we understand that? Do we understand the spiritual war that we're in? We can't stop. We can't surrender. We can't give up. We can't withdraw. Satan is going to keep coming. But we won't take the aggressive step forward and face Satan, face his arguments, face his philosophy, face his doctrines head on with the offensive weapon that God supplies. The cost is your soul, the souls of your families, the souls of your loved ones, the souls of your friends, the souls of the communities around us. The only hope for many individuals is the Christian soldier who will not give up the fight, who will defend when needed, but also press Satan on every issue at every moment as best he can. Will the Christian soldier speak up? Will the Christian soldier press the fight? Will the Christian soldier not give up? Some people don't like the offense. Because when you're on the offense, sometimes you hear things like this. Or sometimes people say this. But they might say to you, you know, why don't you just leave me alone? Why don't you just leave me alone? Why is it a big deal? Why do you care? Just leave me alone. Mind your own business. I don't care. But they don't understand. I have to engage. I must engage to save souls of those that I love. You know, you might want to say, I don't want to push the issue with my family. I don't want to push the issue with my friends. I don't want to push the issue with my coworkers. I don't want to push the issue with my kids. Well, let me tell you someone who will. Satan. Each and every time, Satan will push the issue. Each and every time, he's not going to give up. I think Jeff said something very powerful, and I've really been dwelling on it, you know, being a father, so on and so forth, that he was talking about the idea of sex, talking about pornography and these other things. And I just started thinking, as a school teacher, you know, It's like, I know that it seems like our kids are facing that issue at a younger and younger age. And why is that?
Because Satan pushes the limit. He's after them at their most vulnerable point. He's going to push and he's going to try to get into the lowest age he possibly can.
And you know how we should confront that? By taking the word to our kids. Taking the sword of the Spirit. The Bible's not against sex. Sex is a beautiful, wonderful thing designed by God in the confines of man. But it seems like for years and years, what our community did, and maybe even Lord's Church to some degree, we talked about it like it was taboo. And you know what happened? Satan took that opportunity and said, oh, you're not going to talk about sex? Well, I'm going to talk about it all the time.
And now we have all this sexual perversion all across our society because we wouldn't take the sword, be the aggressor with our youth and those that are around us and say, this is what God says about sexual relationships. And because we didn't do that, because we didn't defend, because we didn't take the offensive, look at our society. We have sexual perversion of all types.
Because we didn't meet Satan at the door. Because we didn't take the attack where it belongs. Sometimes it's not comfortable being the aggressor. Sometimes it's not comfortable to be on the offensive. But if you're not, guess what? Satan is. And he's after your kids, your family, he's after you, he's after our community, he's after everyone. Well, we take the word where it needs to go. You know, we teach our kids that they're supposed to be soldiers in the Lord's army. The question is, are we? Are we as the church a unified group with offensive and defensive weapons that we are using collectively in our society? I find it interesting sometimes. When we look at people that just become Christians, it seems like these are people that are inspired and ready to fight in the Lord's army. A new Christian who's just become a Christian, it seems like they are so eager to speak up. They're so eager to go to their friends and family. They're so eager to be on the offensive. And sometimes I look around the Lord's church and I wonder, have we surrendered? Have we given up?
What happened? Did we lay our armor down? Did we lay our armor down? Did we lay the sword down? What happened? Why did we give up? Why did we surrender? We can't surrender.
People have fought throughout history for all kinds of things. They fought for power, oil, women, land, all kinds of things. You know, as Christians, we fight for something very unique. Spiritual freedom. And yet, the thing that should be most precious to individuals is the thing that's not talked about, that's not thought about as we go out into battle. People lose their spiritual lives when they don't have their armor on. But also, I don't know if we're counting the spiritual cost when we're not prepared to go into battle. You know, we come up against arguments all the time. At least I do in my family. Sometimes my family will bring up things and they'll say, well, doesn't the church try to say this? Or what do you think about this? Am I ready when those arguments come? Am I ready to cast them down? Well, that sounds a little bit rough. That's what it tells us to do. Cast the arguments down of Satan. Cast the philosophies down. Face those doctrines of men. Not because I'm powerful, because I'm taking the sword of the Spirit. It's interesting that phrasing in the Bible, the sword of the Spirit, it's not really my sword, it's the sword of the Spirit. The Spirit kind of has ownership over the sword. And it's very powerful. But do we use it? Are we ready in every situation for the argument that we're presented with? Or have we not trained ourselves and not drilled ourselves to be ready for those situations? When we apply the principles that we find in Ephesians chapter 6 and we start to get this complete picture, we start to see that God is encouraging us to put our armor on. Why? Because we're in a war. And why would you ever go into a war without your armor on? And the implication is that you need to be training with this armor. Well, training for what? Defense and offense. How's your defense? How's your offense? How is the church's defense and offense? Have we just relied on our defense so long that we think that's the only answer? Have we got so afraid to take the fight where it should be? Take the fight to Satan. Take the fight to his ideas. Take the fight to his arguments. Take the fight to the philosophies. Well, I have a sword, but I'm not going to use it. Well, I have a helmet, but I'm not going to put it on. I have a breastplate, but I'm not going to use those things. The question, as you go into 2019, what are you wearing? What are you wearing? Are you defending? Are you attacking? Or are you letting the fiery darts of Satan hit the church, hit yourself, hit your family, hit your community, hit the schools without raising your shield and without raising your sword? You know, there'll be a day when there's no more spiritual war, but it's not today. It's not today. Now is the time to fight. Fight for the ones you love. Fight for the ones you care about. There'll be a day where there won't be any more fighting. Spiritual fight, we understand. But it's not today. We need every man. We need every woman. We need every Christian soldier to take up arms in the fight against Satan. Perhaps you need to become a New Testament Christian. You need to be added to God's army, Christ's army. We would love to help you with that. Hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, and being baptized. Perhaps you've walked off the straight and narrow path. You've got hit by a few darts of Satan, and you need some healing. You need to come back. We'd love to help you in any way we can. If you're subject to Lord's invitation, we ask you to please come as we stand as we sing.